Verse 23, Ezekiel 22. Again, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the land, you are a land, America, whatever land in the world it is, because there's no righteous place in this world except the kingdom of God. You are a land that has no rain or showers in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her, like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, take treasures of precious things, and make many widows within her. Make widows. When people are killed, widows sometimes are left. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach there's no difference between the unclean and the clean. They shut their eyes to keeping my Sabbaths that I have, and I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the sovereign Lord says when the Lord is not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the alien, denying them justice. Verse 30, God says, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not destroy them, but I found none. God said, I looked for a man, but I found none. In that time, in that space of time and era, he looked for a man. Now, we're living in a day not unlike the day in which Ezekiel lived, because as long as there's fallen human nature, as long as there are people who are unrighteous and in darkness, we're going to see circumstances as described here in the text. And sin and corruption have always plagued society and people throughout all time. But the biggest difference today is scale. For example, in Ezekiel's day, it's estimated there's probably no more than 100 million people living in the whole world in Ezekiel's day. Today, we've got 6 billion people and counting. And so if you do the math, it's a factor of 60. Is that right? Help me out. My math, I didn't do too great in math. So 100 million versus 6 billion, is that, how many more times is that? Help me, somebody. Is that 60 times, 600 times more? A whole lot more. The point is the scale of the problem today is that we have more people, therefore there's more opportunities for things that people do wrong. So we see it. And we have a news cycle, 24/7 news cycle. We hear about things instantly. So we're more aware of the problem today. But regardless of Ezekiel's time or our time, when God sees the problems and the corruption and the trouble, God doesn't just say this to complain about it. God intends to respond to it. God intends to answer it. God intends to do something about the problem. So the prophet of God said that God said, I look for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me on behalf of the land, stand in a gap on behalf of the land. Now, that's called an intercessor. And you'll note that, and for the purposes of our lesson today on Father's Day, sometimes the Bible uses the word man, M-A-N, and the Hebrew word means anybody. It means just, you know, man like mankind. But sometimes the text is speaking to a man as in a male species, man. And so that this text is talking about a man. A male. That God wants men. Because when you look at the statistics of all the problems we face, here's some old stats. 43% of U.S. children live without their father. 71% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. These are old stats. Maybe worse now, maybe better. Using this just for illustration's sake. 60% of youth suicides come from fatherless homes. I mean, it goes on. I mean, it gets more depressing, too, all right? The problem is, a lot of what happens wrong in this world is because of men. Males are responsible for a lot of what goes wrong. The killer of the people at Emmanuel AME Church was a man, was a male. I'll say, not a man, it was a male, okay? And so it stands to reason, and God works this way, then if men are responsible for a lot of these problems, God wants men to fix it. All right. Amen? And so God said, I look for a man. But the sad part was, he said, I look for a man to do two things. I look for a man to build up the wall and to stand in the gap on behalf of the people of the land. But I did not find one. How sad. Now, there are lots of males. There are lots of males, but not many men. That's the problem. There's no lack of males. There are a lack of men who will stand in the gap, who will build up the wall. And so I suggest today, and thank God through Christ, we're looking now back in the past, but looking in more recent past, Jesus came, he became the man. He is the man that God sent to build up walls and stand in gaps. But now Jesus, though he has come, he died, buried, rose again, he planted his church. His church is advancing, full of men and women, but God is still saying, I want men to stand up and lead and activate my plan. Right. Amen, brothers. Amen. Say amen, brothers. Amen. And so that responsibility is for us all to take that stand and for men to lead in that effort. So that when God looks today for a man, he finds us. He finds men today. The thing is now, we have to encourage brothers. A lot of brothers today are discouraged. A lot of brothers today don't know who they are. They're confused about their identity and their purpose. And so some brothers become very inactive and dormant. Even those who know Christ and many who are saved do not understand their purpose, haven't really had an encounter with God. And so that we find this problem, God has males, he needs men to stand up. Say, God needs men to stand up. You know, God uses us. You know that he uses us, all of us. But in some areas, he wants a man to do that. You got a whole group of boys. We had, again, I taught the camp. I do one class a year, all right? That's about all I can handle, you know, my schedule. Well, I love doing it, but I'm just busy. And I had a photography class, and I had six boys and one girl in my workshop Monday through Friday, and two of the boys were autistic, two autistic boys. Not, you know, obviously they could function, but it was very difficult in there. And they didn't tell me they were autistic. The parents didn't tell me. I guess they didn't feel they had to, but I found out the first day something, either this is rebellion or something wrong with you. You know, something, I say wrong with you, something is not right, you know. And I found out, I talked to the parents, they told me, so okay, well, I thought to myself, you should have told me this up front, you know. But the point is, these were boys, and I'm the man in that room with the six boys and the girl, and so I had to stand in the gap. Had to take a stand, maybe, I don't know how people are raised, and we have a camp like this, people just, it's a public community event. No church members in my class, and yet, it was a blessing because they all responded. They all responded. I had an assistant, a young man, a former media camper, came and helped out. So the point is, I found myself practicing the very text we're reading, right, and having to build up walls, walls that defined the purpose of life even. I mean, beyond the class, we had to talk even about sometimes how you treat one another. We got a young lady in here. That changes everything, you know. And we talked about those things and got into a lot of just life skills on top of the photography. You know what? When you deal with young people, young men and women, you may be there to teach a class, but you all know this, if you're youth workers, you can't never deal with the class only. You got to deal with the people, how they think, how they've been raised, and then help them understand better how life works. And so that we're building walls in there. And walls, to me, speak of moral and righteous structure, speaks of a barrier between light and dark. It's something that defines right and wrong. And that when walls are not built well, or walls have lots of gaps in it, any wall with lots of gaps, it won't be a strong wall. Matter of fact, it is going to crumble under its own weight at some point. If enough gaps are in a brick wall, for example, then that wall begins to crumble. And we literally sometimes meet people, boys and girls, men and women, who are like walls with all these missing parts and pieces. And they're teetering when you meet them. And what you perceive sometimes as a bad attitude and disrespect is just a lack of training, a lack of understanding. They can only, you know, people don't know what they don't know. Amen? So God says, stand in the gap. So I had experience of that in just, you know, in teaching and doing workshop on photography. And so it's amazing how God, well, God says, I look for a man. Now, I think there are some women who could have been in that room with six boys and a girl, okay, but not many could be in there and handle that the way I handled it, all right? Because, you know, let's just face it, a man can do things and has a certain persona, you know, that a woman doesn't. I mean, men are not women, amen. I mean, it's deep revelation, you know. It may be even surprising nowadays to say, you know, maybe offend somebody to say that, but there's a difference. And so when a man stands among all those boys and the man says something, it comes across a little differently. Now, I think sometimes men misunderstand their place and think that by being hard and mean and forceful, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about tough love. I'm talking about showing a standard. I'm talking about being consistent. So I see a man differently. I was raised by a great man, my dad, who had a great man, my granddaddy. I've been raised by men all my life. And folks talk about what's wrong with black men. What are you talking about? All the black men in my life, they got it together. Right? I mean, the black men I see close to now, I do see brothers who have problems. I understand that. We all have problems. But we want to encourage from this time forward, if we were missing the father and missing the men in our life. Well, thank God, if you have had God bring men to your life, now let God finish what he started. That goes for boys and girls. The girls learn different lessons from their dads and men. Amen? Amen? Let me go on. So God says two things. First, build the wall. Second, he says, stand in the gap or the breach, which is the space between unfinished and broken parts of a wall. In a lot of ways in which this scripture, I think, is seen today, gaps such as we have people who, again, racism and mistreating people, xenophobia. Xenophobia means it's the fear of other people, people different than yourself. And so that's a gap. We got gaps or people who are confused about their sexual identity and confused about who they are as people. We got people who, of course, have been mistreated by parents and father figures and mothers and dads, people they should have trusted, they've been trained to not trust.
That's right.
And when you've been, you know, a betrayal of trust is one of the deepest wrongs one person does to another, because it teaches a person, a child especially, not to trust other people.
That's right.
Even those who are trustworthy, there's a suspicion of those who should be trusted. And so the gap is having to stand in a place of rebuilding trust, rebuilding confidence, and the best way to do that is by consistent love, consistency in love. The Bible, you know, there's a movement called Promise Keepers. They're still going, by the way. They're much smaller now, but there's still a great vital men's ministry in which the name Promise Keepers really says it all. Because it's broken promises that have hurt fathers with their sons and with their daughters and mothers as well. Broken promises destroys confidence in people who follow. But Promise Keepers rebuild that. So being in the gap, when God says, look for a man to make up the wall and stand in the gap, then part of it is to rebuild trust. Say rebuild trust.
Rebuild trust.
It's so important today. Let me move on. Now, what happens to a wall that is repeatedly broken in places? It weakens and it falls. And the fall in the wall is an overall condition that God observes in any nation, family, or individual. God looks at foundations and structures, not just colors and textures. You know, we see a wall, think that wall didn't look too good. I don't like that color paint in the wall. The texture's not good. But is the wall strong? That's what I want to know. Sometimes we look at people, oh, he's cute. Yeah, but there's gaps all behind that cuteness. You know what I'm saying? He's like, he really got problems and voids and gaps in his life. And so all that cuteness won't save him or you. He don't look all that cute. Yeah, but he's solid. He got a short leg. I know he walk a little limp. I always say that. Or she got a big old zit right here. But their life, God's helping them. Don't go by the textures and the colors of people. Amen. Go by the structure. Go by the structure. And by the way, no person has a complete structure with nothing missing. We all have to have some gaps filled. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Let me give you, now I'm going straight to the core of the message now, because again, for time's sake, I want to say that Jesus Christ, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work of redemption, we all have hope. So we began the message with a very disturbing text from Ezekiel. But you must know, and of course now, thank God, living in our day, Christ has come. He has risen. So now Jesus now is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Say the way, the truth, and the life. He is really the man God's talking about. Look for a man. Well, he found a man. His name is Jesus. Now he's looking for other men to stand up with Christ and reflect him to this world around us. I'm going to give you five mandates for real men. And these are notes and thoughts from Pastor Todd Wagner. I'm going to share with you right now. And I want you to take these to heart, brothers, and all of us will learn. This is good for all of us. But I'm talking to men especially and fathers especially, but all of us will benefit from these points. First of all, first mandate for real men, step up. Say step up. Lead, initiate, be a man of action. Assume it is your job and your moment. Hate apathy. Reject passivity. Yeah, so real men step up. Males just style and profile, you know. But men step up and handle the situation. Love the people. Help the young boys. Help the young girls. And so stepping up, the Bible says, our text is really the best scripture for here. Again, I search for a man among the males. All these males, I'm looking for some men among all these males. I searched among them for a man among them, right? Among whom? Everybody. I mean, he wasn't searching for a man among the women. He's looking for a man among the males. Which means men, males, the development, right? To become the kind of men God would have them. He says, who would build up the wall, who would build up, who would step up, who would do something and stand in the gap before me, representing God, representing God. So we in the gap, and here are the people, and here's God. May I present God to you? Let me bridge this gap. Let me present the Lord to you. Let me show you how much God loves you. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you honestly, this is that scripture there I've read for years and years and years, and it's part of why I do what I do. Everything I do relates to helping people comes from this text and others like it. I'm one of the men God found. Amen. Long time ago. And I'm still running. Amen. And so that's, I want to inspire my sons and all the men here that, you know, we're not just out here to make money and have a good time. We're going to do both. We are here because God said, I look for a man among them. Amen. And when I find you, you're going to be a wall builder and a gap filler.
Amen.
So I'm going to be a wall builder and a gap filler. Now, it's good news and bad news, though. It really is. It's like I often say it to you, who's the best boxer now? I mean, boxing's gone by the wayside now, pretty much, hasn't it? Yeah, it is. I just go back in the past. When Mike Tyson, before he lost his mind, they all lose their mind, but when Mike Tyson lost his mind, he was the best boxer, right? So here's some guy, some contender who hasn't been trying, who's been fighting to get a shot at the title. And he finally got a chance at a title shot. So it's good news and bad news. The good news is, even though you're unknown, you've been struggling to get into the big fight, the good news, I got you a fight with Mike Tyson. What's the bad news? I got you a fight with Mike Tyson. So, brothers, the good news is, God has found you to be a wall builder and a gap filler. The bad news is, you called to be a wall builder and a gap filler. Because it is hard. It's difficult to do stuff for people. Amen? It's easy to do stuff for yourself. It's hard to do things for other people. But yet, it was hard for Jesus to do what he did for us. Aren't you glad he did it?
Yeah.
Think it wasn't hard for Jesus? But the good news always is, whether it's difficult or not as difficult, God is with you. You can do all things through Christ. So first mandate for men is what? The second mandate is to speak out. Silence in the midst of sin is a sin. Be courageous. Fear God, not man. Speak the truth in love. God calls men to speak out, which means we got to speak into the lives of other people, especially younger people. We got to state the problem and state the answer. In my class with the boys last week, you know, many things had to be handled. Nothing major and life-threatening, but I mean things like, you know, we're talking and you're talking to somebody else while we're talking. That happens a lot with youth. We have to stop that, you know. Things like slouching all down in the seat, can barely see your head. He's so low. You got to sit up. One kid was so busy, he had his knees on the chair and his mouth against the computer. I'm like, what are you doing? it don't make any sense, boy. I say, get yourself together, boy. I did it. Get yourself together, boy. It's like, get yourself together, boy. He just turn around, sit down. I'm not going to ask him, do you want to sit down? No. That old method, people are funny. I've had staff in the camp who understand how to deal with kids and talking about, come in talking about, do you want to sit down? The boy said, no. Well, you asked me. Say what you mean. What do you want to say? Sit down. All right, I'm sitting down then. I mean, some kids like it real. Amen? Speak out. Say speak out.
Yeah.
Takes courage. Proverbs 27 says, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. This stuff about being nice to people that you ought to correct, I mean, being nice in the sense of avoiding confrontation, avoiding the issue, you're crippling kid. You cripple a child. When you say, well, you know, he has autism and he can't do, no, he can do better. When autism, when it affects a child, he'll do things he can't control. But he can control himself about 85% of the time. So I'm expecting 85% control. I expect as much as you control. I can excuse 10% because you got a situation going on. But you know and I know the situation now. So I expect you, when it's not the situation that you're dealing with you, you're going to sit down. Oh, Pastor, that's not very clinical. I'm not a clinician. I'm a man. And I'm an old school man at that. It was fun, y'all. It was fun. I hug the boys a lot. I huff, fuss, and hug. You know, all that works. But I'm telling you something. You got to speak out, man. Being silent in the midst of sin is a sin. I know it's not popular to call sin sin, but we can't go by what's popular. Let's stay on the right side of God. Let's please God, not man him. All right? I'm not saying be mean and rude and discourteous. I'm not saying go for that because, you know, that you lose people over too much of that. But yet being firm is what people appreciate, boys especially. Open your mouth. The Bible says, look at Proverbs 31. I'll read it to you. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. And to speak up for people who don't have a voice for themselves. I mean, children, poor folks, whomever, you know, whoever needs to be treated right needs someone to speak on their behalf. And I mean everybody. I don't care what your condition is, your sin. I mean, no matter how you live your life, we're going to respect you as much as possible. Amen? We are. We don't agree with people, but you got to love people. Understand, learn to separate people from the behavior. Now, I mean, in the sense that you got to always respect people. Why you don't respect the behavior. It's kind of a hard line to walk, but you can't be too emotional about that. You must understand God calls you to love people. Everybody. Say everybody.
Everybody.
And yet you cannot be silent when it's time to speak truth. Speak the truth in love. That's what the Bible says. And then Proverbs, 1 Peter chapter 3 says, verse 15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. You've got to answer people's questions. You got to answer their spoken and unspoken questions. You got to respond to the challenges, but you can't get upset. You can't get mad. Amen? You've got to, now you may choose anger as a method, but you're not really angry. You're using the method because it's effective. You follow me? But you're still in control, right? Don't parents raise their voices? And we do it strategically. Now, some folks are out of control. Sit down! I said sit down! You know, stay, you know. You know what I'm saying? But if you're in control, you will raise your voice very strategically. And it has effect. You know it's not working if you keep saying it. Nobody's paying attention to you. I love when parents lose control. I love when parents act like they're in control, but then do stuff like sit down. I said sit down. You better. I get count to five. 5, 4, 3. I'm like, you can't. You're teaching a child. It's the third time. The third time you say it is when you mean it. When they're young, you teach kids, your kids. The first time I say something, you're going to obey it the first time. And if you don't, there's a consequence. If you're small, we may get a spanking, you know, whatever. But, you know, we can't play this game where we're going to say things five times before you do something. We're not doing that over here, you know. I told the boys in my room, we're not doing that over here. I sent one guy out. I said, look, you go outside. Go sit in the hallway across from Miss Beatrice and look in that window there and sit there. Look at her there for a little while. And she'll look at you. And when you're ready to come back, you can come back when you're ready. So I said about, he went out, sat across the window, looked at her. He came back at the door. He's a tall kid, too. What you doing here? I want to come back. Come back for what? For what purpose? And explain, well, I want to get this work done. I'm like, come on, I gave him a hug. Come on, have a seat, man. You see how it works? I mean, but if you're not willing to speak out, you can't help people. by, you know, I feel so sorry for you. You can't feel sorry for people. Amen? All right. Number three, the third mandate for men is to stand strong. Say, stand strong. Don't give in when you're challenged, attacked, or criticized. Jeremiah 1 says, now behold, I will make you today as a fortified city, as a pillar of iron and as walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, to its princes and to its priests and to all the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. You got to take your stand when you're challenged. Now, if you're wrong about something, you can just say, okay, I stand corrected. But if somebody is trying to control you, oh, no, you got to push back against that. Amen. Say, no, you don't control me. You can help me. We can help each other here. But the relationship can't get off on the wrong start by someone, you know, doing mind games and things with you and or using anger and silence. No, we're not going to play that. No game. Let's just be people here and be real. And stand strong. And again, this is what men sometimes, more than even women, have to do. Especially if you're a man being challenged in your manhood. I mean, people sometimes don't think that men and black men are worth as much. Or, you know, it's a different valuation, different estimation sometimes of men and black men. But we don't get mad and, you know, go off like that. But you recognize what's going on here and you deal with it. And sometimes you deal with it by ignoring foolishness. Just keep on doing what you were doing before. As if that's a non-factor happening over there. Because sometimes, you know, listen, y'all, you can't go around correcting everybody. Not enough time in the day. So some people, you have to learn to just ignore and move on. Pray for people. Say nice things to people. Keep on stepping. Amen? Keep on stepping. Because God fights. Ultimately, God fights your battles. Don't mistake the battle as yours. It's always God's battle. You got responsibility in the battle, but the battle is the Lord's. And so if God says to you, don't speak back to that, don't address it right now, then that means God has his own way of handling that. God may give you instruction and guidance on how to handle situations, but no, it's always the Lord's battle. Whose battle is it? So stand strong. I love this text. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Another life scripture I live on. Amen. Yeah, thank God. He said, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding. Say, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that means no matter what the conditions and environments and situations going on, that you yourself are steadfast. Everything around you is shaky, but you are steadfast. You can control one person always, you. You can't control how you feel. You can't control how you think. You can't control how you respond. You can't control other people's thinking, responses, and actions. You can always control yours. And so he says, I love that text. Because your toil, your work, your labor is not in vain. Amen. Then the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, be of sober spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So when you're sober and alert, you recognize that the enemy, Satan himself, in, you know, who's working through people, is like a roaring lion, meaning that he's hungry. This lion's looking for a meal, looking for somebody to consume. And sometimes it's the most vulnerable animals in the jungle that get consumed. When a whole herd is running from the lion, it's the straggler that gets ate up. The straggler, the weak one, the one who falls out of the pack. And so the sense is, let's stay in the will of God. Let's stay steadfast, unmovable, and you're less susceptible to being consumed. We're all going to get attacked, but you won't be consumed if you're not susceptible, if you're not making yourself weak. Amen, somebody? Amen. Sometimes people get the car, her car gets stolen. They stole my car. Was the door locked? No. What can I say? Sorry it happened, but it would help to lock the door. Amen, somebody? I mean, a pro will steal your car anyway. Lock door, alarm system, don't matter. The car is gone. But the average little hoodlum needs an opportunity. The devil is a hoodlum, needs an opportunity. Don't give an opportunity. Number four, mandate, stay humble. Say, stay humble. Be vigilant against pride. Get that log out of your eyes. Jesus said, don't say to your brother, let me get the speck out of your eye. It's a log in your eye. So let's first critique self. Let's help other people. But amen. I ain't telling nobody. You just too doggone big. You got to lose some weight. I don't go around telling people that. I don't. I just don't do that. Amen. I say other things. I don't say that. I ain't lost my mind, okay? Let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It is the oil upon the head. Do not let my head refuse it, for my prayer is against their wicked deeds. Psalm 141 and 5. Let me skip. Now go to the final point. This is most important of all. Fifth mandate for men who are going to take the stand is serve the king. Say, serve the king.
Serve.
Seek first his kingdom, his glory, his righteousness. Hope in the eternal. Live for a greater reward. Men, serve the king. Don't serve money. Don't serve things. Don't serve possessions. Serve Jesus. Say, serve Jesus. Come on, I want to serve Jesus. He said, but seek first his kingdom. Read it with me. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I'm a witness, church. I've been serving God for a long time. I'm a kingdom man. I think about how to serve the kingdom, be a part of God's plan. And I've been blessed. I'm not rich and wealthy, but I've been blessed with lots of things. You know, I got great material possessions, things I like, I enjoy, and nice house and things. I got stuff because I don't live for stuff. Amen. Very happy to go to Africa and stay in a hotel room, man, with no hot water and lizard running around. And I'm cool with that. You know, hot every day. We sweating all the way and road is bad. This is great, man. This is having a great time. I know I'm going home, too. I know I'm leaving. It do help. I don't live here. But see, hardness, I'm pretty tough about it. Not much is going to shake me up and keep me from doing what has to be done. Because we serve the king. The king takes care of us. Therefore, if your life isn't based on how much stuff you can get, you won't be sad when you don't get the stuff you want. Your emotions and your sense of self-worth don't rise and fall with your paycheck, with your latest, greatest gadget. You just serve the king. Everything else falls behind that. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Stop right there. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says, Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There it is, men. We came not to be served, but to serve. Now, Christ gave his life in death as a ransom. We give our life in service as a blessing. Father, thank you. Thank you for reminding us as men and fathers, and really all of us.